This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. They're called the invisible victims of the heroin epidemic, the children of addicts who are suffering as their parents use and sometimes overdose. In our region, there are currently around 1,000 children in need of homes as the heroin crisis continues, with a dramatic rise in overdoses in just these past few weeks. Funding is falling short, and local counties have been overwhelmed with the need for more foster and adoptive homes. Here to talk about the heroin epidemic and the options for children of addicts who need homes, our agency director for Hamilton County Job and Family Services, Moira Ware, and director of Foster, Family, and Community Engagement at Specialized Alternatives for Families and Youth, Tiffany Bailey. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Moira and Tiffany, thank you so much for being here this afternoon. You know, Moira, we've talked so much about the impact that the heroin crisis is having, and the surge in overdoses that we've seen in just the recent weeks during the summer. And I think it has been easy to forget how tough this is on children as well.
Yes, it's been very difficult. I mean, we know today 50% of the children coming into the child welfare system are coming because of a heroin addiction or a cocaine addiction of a parent. We also know statewide 70% of the infants that are coming to care are there because of are connected to a parent that's abusing heroin. So, and then just in Hamilton County, we have 321 more children today in custody than we did a year ago. So we're seeing a steady increase in children coming into foster care. And by the time these children come to us, they have experienced so much trauma already in the home, so they've been living in a situation where it's been kind of unraveling for some time. So you're just really working with not only the children that have been exposed to so much trauma, but then other family members, and really trying to work with those family members to kind of heal and overcome. That's been very challenging.
Yeah, Tiffany, but what are you seeing? I mean, how tough is it on these children?
Oh, it's very difficult. And I think the most interesting part is we used to have a hard time finding homes for older children, and now we're getting a lot of younger children as well, and a lot of times they're in sibling groups. And it's often an emergency situation where they might call you in the middle of the night and they need somewhere for those kids tonight.
Well, and in some cases, these kids might have even seen their parents overdose or something horrible like that.
Many of the cases we're seeing, and I'm sure Tiffany can speak, we are seeing children have been witnessing overdose, or actually we've had some children that have been helping shoot their parents up because they're trying to help them get through the day. So again, I can't underscore the trauma that these kids have been exposed to. Also, oftentimes there's strangers, people coming in and out of the home that are potentially victimizing the children, or they're just creating another level of risk to families. So it's really, they're very fragile by the time we get to them.
Mm. So what kind of a strain is this putting on the system? What are we seeing here in terms of how difficult this is making for child protection services?
Well, I mean, we're seeing the impact first, obviously on the children and the families, and we're also seeing families who have been trying to work with their loved one to either help them get clean or stay clean. The children are obviously the victims, but then you're also all of our staff that are working with these families and seeing such trauma and hearing these stories. We've really had to look at not only providing trauma-informed services for our families and our children, but also our staff. And I know the foster parents are seeing the exact same thing.
Definitely. The agencies do a good job of trying to train our parents so that they can deal with the trauma that the kids have been through. So we do work with them and support them in that way, but it's just escalating, as she mentioned.
As a child is removed from a home, what happens next? Where does the child go first, and who takes care of them if there are no foster spots available?
So we're lucky in Hamilton County that, we might have to keep a child in our care in the office for a few hours. I mean, a couple of nights ago, we had some kids for, I think, over 6 hours. But we're really lucky to have providers that are able to really find us a home at some point. So initially, within the children, if we can't find a placement for them at that moment, we first obviously try to work with family to see if there's a relative or caregiver, someone in the community that could take care of the children. If that's not a possibility, then we would look for foster care placements. And we would look with our networks, and we would really say, this is how many children we have, because as you mentioned, they don't usually come. It's not one or two. It's a sibling set, which we really want to keep them together. So we'll look for a network that has a home that's not only available to take the sibling set, but also that has the ability to manage the children because they've been exposed to so much. We actually have some children coming into care who are themselves are now already almost addicted to heroin. So we're treating both the family, you know, the parents have OD'd or potentially had some issues, and that we're looking at children that potentially have started using. So we're really trying to wrap our hands around all of that. And then we would be working with the foster care agencies to place the children, and then obviously working closely with them to provide services that are needed, again, with the goal to reunify the children back home. Sadly, what we're seeing, particularly in heroin, because of that strong addiction, reunification is becoming more challenging. So children, there's a concern that children will stay in our system much longer, and that just means the system becomes really, you know, stretched and strapped because children are staying longer and providing needing more services.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Tiffany, how does an organization like yours respond to this? I mean, this has to have been difficult.
It's very difficult for us. We're working hard to find foster homes and foster families that are willing and able to take care of these kids. We do let them know up front that we will work with them every step of the way and give them the training that they need. But it is a hard job, and it's hard to, there's always been a shortage of foster parents, and now it's just skyrocketed.
Oh, that's a good point. This is on top of the need that's already there.
Right.
Again, 513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Moira, what as far as what you're seeing in your agency, I mean, what are some of the challenges that you faced in dealing with this?
Well, the trauma that we're seeing, the children, we're seeing homes that, I mean, there could be a family just like one of our families that have, somebody's become addicted and they're losing everything. They could be homeless. We're also seeing an increase in violence. So 70% of our cases that we're touching now have a mixture of, domestic violence, substance abuse, and mental health. And then, of course, you add behavioral health issues with the children because they have been often neglected due to a parent's addiction. And those are all really challenging topics and issues to really wrap your hand around. And so oftentimes, we might get the call saying the child, they're being neglected, but then we find out the neglect is due to a severe addiction of heroin. So then you're trying to manage all the things that are going in the home and then providing services. You know, obviously we want to get the family, the parent or parents into treatment, help them get stable, help them start to go into recovery, getting the children immediately in services to deal with the trauma that they have and the things that they've been exposed to. That could even be medical appointments if they need medical care, working closely with the foster parents because the foster parents would be then identifying behaviors that we might not have known about that we would be working with them to try to get services. So, I would say the community is very strapped with finding really services that can really manage the trauma of our families and really particularly services that could go in the home to deal with the trauma for our foster parents, our birth parents, our relatives, anybody that's been really exposed to this, and how do we kind of help people heal and then kind of move forward.
What about funding? I mean, is the funding keeping pace with the increase?
That's a good point. I read recently that in Ohio, they're saying most of the child welfare dollars are being spent specifically as it relates to heroin. I think last year they said Ohio spent $45 million. For the children, as it relates to heroin. So I think that you're absolutely right. We're a system that's already stretched is being, additionally stretched to manage this. The concern is going to be if it's indeed true that children stay in our care longer, those require more services. That just requires a lot of things that would happen in order to manage the extended length of care.
Now, how often are kids returned to parents who've OD'd, and what's the process for before they know it's safe for the kids to be returned?
Well, it's an individualized situation. I mean, certainly you would want a parent to, it really gets back to the safety concerns around the children, the parent's protective capacities, and how the parent is engaged in that process. Certainly you want to make sure a parent is in recovery, they're maintaining sobriety, they're attending the services that they need to do. It's something that's closely monitored by the court system. I mean, the juvenile court ultimately has a decision about whether or not a child is removed and then returned. We get lots of input from the foster parents, service providers, anybody that's working with the children and parents in terms of is it a safe time to return that child or children? Because we certainly don't want to compromise that situation, or the worst case scenario, we return a child or children home and then something happens and we have to bring them back into care because that just adds additional trauma to the family. But it's something that, there's lots of involvement, with the the guardian's office who's looking out also for the child's best interest and just making sure that the best decision is made for the children and family and that the child can be returned home safely and that the child can maintain that safe living environment.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can join us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. And here to talk about the options for children of addicts who need homes are Agency Director for Hamilton County Job and Family Services, Moira Ware, and Director of Foster Family and Community Engagement at Specialized Alternatives for Family and Youth, Tiffany Bailey. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Moira, this sounds like this is not going to be something that goes away anytime soon. I mean, are you expecting this to continue to be a growing problem?
Sadly, we do. As I mentioned earlier, we have 321 more kids today than we did a year ago. We know statewide since 2010, there's a 19% increase in children coming into foster care, and that number really is going up quite short. You know, it's continuing to increase, and we anticipate that trend to continue. And really, until we can figure out nationally, how do we really stop this epidemic, and how do we really figure out how to address the heroin addicts and how best to treat that, and then how do we keep families intact and help them maintain sobriety?
And so we're just going to keep seeing an effect of this spreading out. It's not just the problem of heroin and addiction itself. It goes way beyond that.
It does, and it's really, I mean, you started the show just the victims that people forget about, the children, and you just forget, these children are seeing really horrific things happening in their homes, whether it's the people coming in and out because of the drugs, or just imagine seeing a loved one really losing everything because that addiction is so strong they're willing to do that. And that's just a heartache for any child to have to witness.
Yeah. Hey, Tom from Norwood had a question. His experience is he lost three brothers to heroin. And so he's personally suffered from this crisis. He's wondering how he can help kids.
Well, we are always looking for more foster parents. So that would just be people that basically raise their hand and say that they want to help. They would be able to take the kids in and take care of those children until they're able to go back home to their biological family.
So what's the difference between fostering and adopting, Tiffany?
In foster care, the idea is that they're going to go back home to their biological family. So the foster parents are taking care of them during the time that their biological family is getting back on their feet. With adoption, that's forever. So those are then your children.
So what are the requirements to become a foster parent?
They're pretty basic. To be a foster parent, you just need to be 21 years old, with a relatively clean criminal background and financially stable. Those are the basic requirements.
Mm-hmm. Where do you go to sign up for this? How do you do that?
You can call the county, and they can refer you to some of the private agencies.
Okay.
Yeah, and there are obviously another way you can do, if you don't want to be a foster parent, sometimes that's a stretch for some folks. You could be an alternate caregiver. Like, every parent needs a break. So if you know someone that's a foster parent, you can offer to be the alternate caregiver for that family so that they need a break. You can be approved by the organization to do that. So there are lots of ways. I mean, you could go and help out and volunteer at community providers that help families that are in need, that are in crisis, and see if there are volunteer opportunities there.
Now, in Tom's case, he's a 55-year-old single man. So if you want to be a foster parent, does your marital status matter? Do you have to be?
Not at all. You can be married or single. It doesn't matter.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's talk with Julie and Mason. Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I'm really enjoying the discussion, and I appreciate the work that that you guys are doing and talking about with the foster families and the epidemic that's going on. So thank you. My question that I have for you guys, and I know you've touched on it a little bit about like the difference between foster and adoption, but I wanted to find out what specifically are there, when you become a foster parent, does it have to go through the agencies or is it through the county that the children get placed? How does that work?
You come through the agencies to become a foster parent.
Okay, and are there certain agencies that are approved through, like, does it have to be Hamilton County, Butler County, or how does that work?
So you would go, any organization that Hamilton County contracts with for foster care, we would place a child with that. But you could do that in any county. So if you live in Butler County, there might be an organization in Butler County. But I can tell you locally in Hamilton County, sadly, we're placing about 40% of our children outside of Hamilton County because we don't have enough homes within the county. So we're desperately looking to increase that so that we can have more children placed within Hamilton County. And that's really because it's, if you can imagine from a child's perspective that, you know, not only have you taken me from my home, but if you've taken me and putting me almost, you know, across the town or into another county, you're even adding more trauma because I'm now in a different school. I'm in a whole different community. So, we would love to see more foster parents within Hamilton County, but certainly if you don't live in Hamilton County, you can go to an organization that's within your county and find out about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Julie, thank you for the phone call. How tough is it if you have several children in one family, how tough is it to keep brothers and sisters together when they need foster care or they often are split up because there's just not enough room with one family?
So we try really, really hard to make sure we can keep children together unless there's some safety issues that would require you to split them up. But our number one priority is to keep children together. And as you can imagine, our children don't come, you know, one or two. Sometimes, you know, a few nights ago or a week ago, we had seven children. So we're looking for families that will oftentimes be willing to take in seven children together or five children. So we work really closely with the networks to try to help that happen. And we're, you know, we've got lots of wonderful foster parents, and they might say, you know, they really only wanted two, but they were approved to take five. And so, you know, we might have this big, have a big ask, do you mind taking five, even though you typically only want to have two, as long as we can make sure it's a good placement, it's a safe placement. But it's a challenge. It's really hard to, again, the children that are coming to us have been exposed to so much different trauma. So you're really having to ask people to take on a big task.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. Beyond adoption, beyond fostering, what are other ways that we can help kids who find themselves in this situation?
Well, you could be a mentor. You know, there's lots of organizations that do mentoring. If you could sign up to be a mentor, and you can work with families that are going through crisis, and you can be a mentor to a child. You could be a big brother, a big sister. You could go and do volunteer work at schools. I mean, oftentimes by the time we get the calls on these children, they've been neglected in various aspects of their life, education being one of them. So you could volunteer at the schools to help the schools if they need help with mentoring or tutoring. You could actually, a lot of the shelters could use donations because I know we're often looking for, you know, to place families temporarily if there's drugs and then violence, if we're trying to, you know, find a home for the family. And shelters, I think, could always use, are always looking for supplies or donations. I think there are really lots of different ways within the community you could touch, you know, find something they're interested in. I guarantee you one of us is touching that organization, whether it's through our children or our families.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany, do you have any advice?
She pretty much covered it.
Local schools, particularly churches, mosques, synagogues, how much are they working to help find places for foster kids? Do you get a lot of support on what you're trying to do?
There are some churches that we're able to partner with, but we are always looking for more, for sure.
What about in the area of funding? How do we resolve that issue, Moira? What needs to be done there, do you think?
Well, we have our levy coming up soon. So obviously the Children's Services levy would be a great way to, if we could educate voters around the need for the levy. Certainly the levy supports the child welfare system that you know in Hamilton County. We generate about $40 million locally for that. We can match that dollar for dollar. So that gives us about $80 million. And really a large part of the levy goes to pay for placement services for children in foster care and the services that families need as we're addressing children in placement.
What about legislatively? You see much going on in Columbus as far as dealing with this issue?
Yes. I mean, it's a topic that everybody's talking about in terms of with sufficient funding, as well as what can we do to address the heroin epidemic across the state, and not only within Hamilton County, but across the state.
Let's talk with Eric in Batavia. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I've been a foster parent, my wife and two girls, since 2012. We've had three different children over that course from Claremont County. And a very rewarding experience.
Great. Thank you for sharing that.
And I know you talked about Hamilton, Warren, and Butler County all going to agencies to get their license. Now, we in Claremont, we went right to the county. So I don't know if you guys in those counties are different or how that worked, but we were able to go directly to the county.
Yeah, every county, I'm sorry, every county does operate a little bit differently.
Okay. I know the agencies usually charge a fee where our county in Claremont did not.
A fee to become licensed?
Yes.
No, we don't charge any fees to become licensed. I don't think most agencies do, but SAFI definitely does not.
Okay. But if somebody's wanting to be a foster parent out there, it's very rewarding. It's a lot of love that you give out.
Erica, what ages were the children you fostered, and how long did you?
We got a newborn that was spent its first 3 weeks of life in the hospital.
Wow!
Yeah,
and a 3-year-old, and then we did respite care for a 15-year-old.
But you found it all to be very, very rewarding. That's good to hear.
Yeah, very good.
Great.
Eric, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you for what you do.
Tiffany, how do you navigate through all that? I mean, it's obvious there are different ways. I mean, how do you keep track of what each county or agency does? Is there any way to do that?
I don't know if there's a good way to do that. Generally, people just start with calling the county. So in Hamilton County, if you call them, then they give you their list of approved providers.
So call 946-1000 and we can direct you to someone that can give you the information and see what provider, because we want you to be matched with a provider that is, is good for you to work with, and so that you have a good experience with that provider.
Mm-hmm.
And in Hamilton County, we contract with the providers to do that, so we don't actually do the licensing ourselves. We rely on organizations like SAFI to do that for us.
Mm-hmm. But it's different county to county.
It is a little bit different county to county.
And for anyone interested in being a foster parent, there is a link on our website. And Moira and Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Agency Director for Hamilton County Job and Family Services, Moira Ware. Director of Foster Family and Community Engagement at Specialized Alternatives for Family and Youth, Tiffany Bailey. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. And join us tonight at 9 for NPR's coverage of the vice presidential debate. Newport is about to become a smart city. Cutting-edge digital, communications, and design technologies will be used to improve the quality of life in Newport. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll get a preview of the project and how it will all work. We'll also talk with the author of a new biography of former President George W. Bush, and we'll hear about the changing face of farming. That's on Cincinnati Edition, tomorrow afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.